Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 and the verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. Amen. I want to take this as my text tonight, indeed a combination of these scriptures. The theme of this text, verse 27, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. The theme of this text is not house building. The theme of this text sets forth the principle of priorities. Afterward presupposes a before. And in the Christian life, before we do certain things, we must first do other things. There is an order. There is a divine order. And neither the saint nor the sinner can afford to reverse God's divine order. And all the Bible is united in this principle, putting God first, putting his word first. We have a phrase in Kiswahili, and it is, if need, it's our motto. Two words, Mungu Kwanza, God first. Simple as that. It's as simple as that. And with God, all things are possible. Kwa Mungu yote, yawezekana. Those two sayings, those two translations are very dear to us because they set forth that God is first. And with him, everything, whatever it is, can be done. You remember the prophet in the time of the famine? He met a widow woman. She was gathering some sticks. And he said, could you bake me a wee cake of bread? Oh, she said, sir, I couldn't. I'm gathering a few sticks to bake my last handful of meal for me and my son. And the prophet said to her, bake me a cake first. And she obeyed the prophet. And in answer to her obedience and her sacrifice, the barrel of meal that she had never wasted. And the little cruse of oil never failed until the famine had departed from the land. Now, if she had said, as many as a Christian could have said, I can't do it. And I've heard people say these things. I can't tithe. Couldn't afford it. Well, I tell you something, you can't afford not to. Putting God first. God's divine order. Christ, when he was giving his sermon to the disciples, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek shall be added unto you. There was a first that had to be done. Remember the would-be disciple who said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. He had another first. He had himself first. The Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. Follow thou me. Men and women, in God's work, he must come first. In every situation in life, he must come first. There are no exceptions to this rule in the Bible. If we cannot honor God in any given situation, then it is our duty to forsake a position and put God first. There is no Christian way to do a wrong thing. There is no exceptions which can cause a Christian to do something which he knows is intrinsically wrong for any reason. God first. It's the same in the life of the sinner. You can try cleaning your life up in order to have acceptance with God. It'll never work. You come as you are. Christ Jesus came into the world to save respectable, cleaned up sinners. No, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. And so we put God first. We don't need to decide at every crisis in life, and we all have them, what we have to do. Because we should know what we're going to do. We're going to do what God has already decided we should do. And take a decision from his word. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. We're not left to our own devices in these things. Life is a maze, a veritable maze of pathways. And we don't know. Our own reasoning is no guide in these things. We cannot possibly use either our maturity or our rationalism or understanding or intellect, whatever you want to call it. We cannot use that and say, this is what I feel the Lord would have me do if it is against the Word of God. It's the Word of God, my friend, that counts, not what we feel the Lord would have us do. It's the Word of God that counts. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Don't be acknowledging your own worldly wisdom. Jonah's ship looked a good ship to Jonah. And it was a good ship. When it hit the storm, it stayed afloat. And it was a good crew, too. For they didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. So there was nothing wrong with the ship, and there was nothing wrong with the crew that Jonah decided to use on his flight from the will of Almighty God. My friend, let me tell you this. If we set ourselves to do something, even if it's wrong, we will find a vehicle there ready to carry us with it. And Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, and lo and behold, he found a ship going to Tarshish. But it wasn't God's ship. It tied him for a while, and then the storm broke around his head. It carried him for a while in his blindness of heart. It carried him, and him lying sleeping in the hold, and the storm breaking round his head. Saul's sacrifice for the people looked good in Saul's eyes. Remember the old prophet? Samuel said, if you wait for me, I'll come and I'll sacrifice and I'll establish you in the eyes of the people. Saul couldn't wait. And Samuel came and he noticed what was happening. He said, what means these things? Saul says, I had to sacrifice. Did it for the people. Had to hold them together. Had to do it. Samuel says, God has rent the kingdom from you. He's taken it from you. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Hagar seemed a good compromise to Abraham when he listened to Sarah nagging him every day. Nag, 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 nag. The word of the angel was not enough for Sarah. She couldn't wait on the child that Abraham was promised that would come from his loins. And she disbelieved and she laughed at the angel even. Well, I tell you, she came up with a compromise. And it looked the very part. And I'm sure Abraham grabbed it with both hands and said, I'll get peace now. But I tell you, he might have got peace, but it wasn't God's peace. It wasn't God's peace he got. Because God's promised child came in the fullness of time. And Hagar and her son were cast out. And they're still causing problems in the world millenniums later. In all thy ways acknowledge him. If God gives us a promise, let me say this, God's word doesn't change, friend. It doesn't change. Remember Lot? He thought he could obey God. He was a Christian, you know. We know that from the New Testament. Because his righteous soul was vexed from day to day with the deeds of the Sodomites. And he thought he could obey God while sitting in the gate of Sodom, hobnobbing with the elders, calling them brethren, even if you please. But his own wisdom failed him. His own wisdom failed him. He made the mistake the day he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Abraham shouldn't have given him that choice because Lot wasn't mature enough to make a good choice. Abraham gave him the choice and he pitched his tent towards the well-watered plains toward Sodom. God had other plans for the gays, and it didn't include sitting in the gate dialoguing with them. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. Christian, let me say this tonight. The script of our lives has already been written. We cannot change the script unless we're ready to overthrow the very word of God itself, the very promises of God. Because it can never, never work. Our own wisdom and judgment will fail us. Now listen, how can we trust God as Christians here tonight? How can we trust God with our immortal soul if we cannot trust him in the little decisions in life concerning our lives and our families? How can we trust him to save our souls if we cannot trust him enough to tithe our money? If we cannot trust him enough to oppose the Muslim march of war with their cutthroat religion? If we cannot trust him enough to stand against sodomy and same-sex marriages, how can we trust God with our immortal souls? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How can we trust him with our immortal souls if we cannot give the trumpet a certain blast and say, this is where we stand, like Martin Luther, I can do no other. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Listen to me. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail. I have too much love for my freedom to want to go to jail. But I believe this Bible. I'm told now on good authority, I read it the other day in the paper, that we can disagree with sodomy if we're polite. Imagine. Dictating how we Christian people can view the sin that God hates. Well, I tell you something. I don't hate anybody. I don't even hate the Iraqis. Feel sorry for them, as a matter of fact. I don't hate the Muslims. I don't hate the Catholic people. Some of the biggest hearted people that I know were Roman Catholics. I have to say that. I don't hate the gays. But I tell you what, I'm opposed to false doctrine and I'm opposed to wrong behavior. And here I stand tonight. I can do no other. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now you're wondering where all this is leading. Well, let me just bring it to where it is leading. On the Sunday 29th of September 1996, I preached my last sermon in Newton Ards. I was just reading the notes the other night. And I said to the people then, I do not yet, this is when I came into fame. My wife and I started this fame 11 years ago. I do not yet know the future, but I know that God will guide me. So I did. I believed it in here, friend. I believed it. I believed it enough to leave the manse, to leave the ministry, to leave the pension such as it was, and to walk out with nothing. Nothing. After over 20 years, I believed it enough to do that. And I still believe it. And I will believe it. I do not yet know the future, but I know that God will guide me. I'm at present looking for a place to live. And the Lord has brought a promise to mind already concerning it. And I quoted this text. Prepare thy work without, Proverbs 24:27, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. And I took the text as a promise. I was in transit, as it were. Had to get out of the manse. Had to find a place. Now, the men weren't hurrying me. They said, take 6 months, take whatever you... But when you have no home, you feel unsettled. And there I was with a new work starting, and the unsettledness of not having a home and trying to find a home. And God brought me this text. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field. And afterward, build thine house. And I took it as a promise from the Lord that if I did what I knew that he'd called me to do and threw my weight behind it, that the Lord would bring everything else into place in its own time. And my friend, so he has done. The Lord's no man's debtor. We started again from scratch. We still had some of our family then. They're now up and flown the nest. And now we're left just the two of us, Darby and Joan. But men, listen. God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And then he says, and even to whore hairs will I carry thee. Our times are in his hand. And what you're going to see tonight, and I'm finished now for my time is gone. What you're going to see tonight is quite simply this. Apart from me, apart from my wife, apart from anything of man, get man out of it tonight. It's just a simple act of obedience. And God has brought it to fruition. And to him tonight I give all the praise and all the glory. All the praise. God has done this in spite of us, not because of us. Sometimes I feel like Peter crying out, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. There's nothing in us. The Bible says, if any man thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And if we think of ourselves above that which we ought to think, we're deceiving ourselves. For we're nothing, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says we are. There's nobody any better than anybody else. The Lord has leveled the playing field. And we all must pass through Calvary if we're to get to heaven. The cross is where our life begins. And what you, those of you who wish to see the DVD tonight, what you're seeing, what you will see, is very simply God honouring his own word. Prepare thy work without. And make it fit for thyself in the field. And all these other things will come in. They'll be supplied. You know, people thought I was mad. And some of them still think I'm mad. But I tell you this. I'm glad. People say, do you miss the ministry? I don't miss the ministry. I have a greater ministry now than ever I had before. Others might be doing the physical work, but they're doing it because I set up under God a system whereby I could pay people to do work and reach thousands with the gospel. I'm reaching more now through that method than ever before. May God be pleased to bless you tonight. In all thy ways, whatever problem you have tonight, whatever decision, listen, we all have families. We all have friends. We all have trials and troubles and temptations. A Christian is no different. He's not exempt from any of these things. We've got decisions to make. Be mature enough to say, whatever the cost, I'm not for sale to the world. I'm not for sale. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to obey God. You don't have to shout. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be anything. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. May God bless you tonight. Thank you.